What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another special episode of Clock Blockers with On the Clock. Jason Sarni, myself, Stephen Daniels. We are so excited. It's been a little bit since we've seen you, but that's okay. It's draft week. We're leading up to the draft week, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Jason, what's up, man? How you been?
Been great, Steven. This is my favorite time of year that's not in game. I've said it all the time, but I can't wait for the draft. We're within a week. Let's rock and roll.
It is, man. And around this time of year, you kind of go through different positions. The last time we did offensive line, and that was a lot of fun. And so we wanted to stay on the offensive side of the ball. And today we're going to do tight ends and wide receivers. Because look, at the end of the day, we probably are going to draft somebody in this year's draft at that position. So we wanted to kind of touch and focus on some of those players that might be able to be drafted by our team and maybe a couple of others that are going to be good players in the NFL. So let's start with the tight end position, because I think that's where, a lot of the stuff that we're going to see is going to come from. And that's going to be A.J. Barner. Is going to be the first guy that we're going to do as I try to bring him up on the screen here. Here you go. All right. A.J. Barner, tight end, 6'6", 251 pounds out of the University of Michigan. Why don't you start with him, Jason?
The reason why we're going to talk about just a few tight ends is, everyone's talking about, Brock Bowers or Sanders from Texas, and they could very well be in play. And I do think that for this show, we're going to go with some other guys who may be a little bit further down the line. The Dolphins might look at it if they do not elect to go with tight end in the first round or two, which is where those previously mentioned tight ends would go. But Barner from Michigan is more of your traditional kind of inline blocking tight ends who can help mainly in the run game. And I feel like that could be a tricky, day three pick. Someone who might not be necessarily a huge pass catching threat that could develop in time, but he's got great size and developing, improving ability. From a run blocking perspective. So could be a guy from Michigan, great program.
He's from a championship team too.
And that's a big
exactly
deal, right?
I agree.
If there is a silly bet or a proposition bet that I have to kind of search the internet for, it's likelihood of schools to teams, meaning, oh, the Dolphins are going to draft someone from Alabama. The Dolphins are going to draft someone from Clemson. I want to know what the odds are for them drafting someone from Michigan, because I've said this, a lot of people know this, I'm even going a different direction. Forget Stephen Ross. That's the sprinkle on the Sunday. The Sunday is that Chris Greer, for the last 4 out of 5 years, has drafted a champion in that year going into the draft, starting with Christian Wilkins. Let's run it back. 2019, Clemson wins the national championship. He gets Christian Wilkins, Clemson Tiger. 2020. Who wins the national championship?
I don't know.
LSU. He goes with their long snapper. Why not?
Yeah.
If you're going to get a long snapper, might as well be a guy with a ring, right? 2021. Yep. You got Jalen Waddle. Tua. He drafts champions. And then he drafted Channing Tindall from Georgia. Going in from that champion year.
You're asking me to use a part of my mind, Jason, that I have not been Waddle. For in a minute, okay?
You're right. Waddle was a guy who I believe like went in from championship season to his rookie year. Yeah. Ferguson was the guy who went in and to his draft, to that draft. And then the next year, yeah, Tindall. And then Georgia wins again, but you don't have a first or second round pick if you're the Dolphins. So he didn't have the ability to go 5 for 5. But my point is, he loves bringing in guys who have Rose trophies in college months prior to the draft. So I guarantee a Michigan Wolverine is going to be on this draft. There was one last year. I get it.
Ryan Hayes.
I think correct. Yeah. But I like this kid late as a guy who could just be a no one's going to go crazy. Oh, my God, A.J. Barner. Fantasy. Where is he going to go in fantasy? He's not going to go in fantasy anywhere. He's a guy who can help a football team in an area that we could use fun depth help in helping running lanes, from a tight end and blocking.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I like the championship pedigree and I like the Michigan, connection there. And I think that's going to be well, but he's not the only tight end that you had on this list. You had another one that's really interesting too. Tell us a little bit about Ben.
You know, I'm just again a couple of tight ends. I happen to think they may not even go this route, but if they do, Sinnott is a guy flying up the boards. He even could creep into day two territory early, round two, early round three, which would, you know, price them out the Dolphins. But if they love a guy who's versatile, who could be, look, you know, remember tight end like a Charles Clay, he could play all over the field. You know, he could play as like an H-back, a fullback, a tight end, a slot. You know, he can kind of go all over the field. He could be your offensive weapon. That's not your necessarily top 75 guy in a Sanders or in a Brock Bowers. He could creep up that board. If he's the second tight end off the board, it wouldn't shock me whatsoever. So Sinnott is a guy that if the Dolphins make, you know, a trade up day two, you know, you go into the 2025 pool of picks. You trade that third to get into the fourth or the third. If Sinnott's there and you really love a project who could be a poor man's type of a Kittle, this could be that type of a guy, not day one.
Hey, look, and I get the tight end connection, bringing in Jonnu Smith. Odds are they're probably not going to go in that direction. And even if Brock Bowers, in my opinion, falls to 21, I got to think that somebody's willing to trade up and give us a really good deal to try to jump in at 21 to go get Brock. And I think the Dolphins would more than likely trade back. That's just my opinion of that particular deal. Now, with that being said, the Dolphins are in search for a wide receiver probably in this year's draft. And there's a few of them on this board that I want to talk about. Going back to the University of Michigan, let's talk about Cornelius Johnson. Why do you like him?
Another guy that I'm going to target late from Wolverine territory. He's a taller receiver. He's got good, you know, he's bounced around a little bit in college, but I think that he could be a red zone threat. He's got, you know, good mix of size and speed, you know, for the NFL. And again, I just am looking for a receiver. If I have to separate the receivers from, and I hate doing this, I'm not being sizist. Give me some, is that a word? Can I say that? I don't want to be sizist.
It's definitely new. I like it.
You know, I don't want to be sizist, but give me someone who hits six feet and above. I just think that, you know, preferably if you're looking for a red zone threat, which is where the Dolphins can use help, certainly if you're going to run these fade patterns, you know, he's a guy who could add a little bit more of an element to the game overall, but I do like a taller receiver late in him.
All right, another wide receiver. This one I'm actually related to. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm related to this next wide receiver. He's like a fourth cousin through marriage. But, you know, I'm excited that he could potentially be a Miami Dolphin. And his dad was pretty great in the NFL. Maybe you've heard of him, Jerry Rice. What do you think about Brandon Rice and him potentially being a Miami Dolphin?
Well, obviously, I don't want to use the word pedigree because that's just, you know, obvious. You know, he's the son of Jerry Rice, which makes him obviously someone who you can see at a, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. Who knows? You know,
family barbecue. I don't know this man. Maybe, you know.
Again, he hits the, if I'm being sizist, you know, he's got good size. You know, I like the good size speed combination. Obviously, you love speed if you're the Dolphins, you know, but give me some size to it, even if you're taking off a couple of, you know, TikToks off of your 40-yard dash. But power five receiver, if you're going to find a power five receiver, conference receiver round three, if you get back into it, this could be your guy.
According to NFL.com, he's projected as a fourth round pick, but I love the size and I love what he could potentially bring. And here's the thing, and this is not necessarily being talked about, and maybe it should. Maybe it brings a guy like Jerry Rice into the building now and again and be able to, you know, look, you got Wes Welker there as the wide receivers coach. You got Tyreek Hill, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then to have a guy like Jerry Rice in there, I mean, that would be one hell of a wide receiver room. I would be very and by the way, I say Jerry Rice because Jerry would come and visit. He would be a part of, you know, training camp here and there and visiting his son. And so to have that guy in the building here and there, I think, I mean, just like Dan Marino being in the building, you can't really put a price on that.
Ooh, pardon me. Wow. I do completely agree with the marketability of Rice. You never want to discount that X factor. And speaking of X factor, he'll be an outside receiver. You know, I think the Dolphins can benefit from drafting a pure X receiver, because you know what? If you're going to have Tyreek maybe 1 or 2 years out, they're not the same players, but at least the outside receiver. You know, I don't know if they're in the market for a slot receiver per se in this draft, but if you're looking for an outside receiver late, could be him.
All right, let's go on to the next one, and that is Javon Baker, wide receiver, 6'1", 202 pounds. Tell us why you think Javon's going to be a good future NFL player.
Not as tall, but, you know, good, decent size, similar speed, you know, to Rice, I would say, you know, 4.54 as opposed to like a 4.5 for Rice, but powerful. You know, he's definitely a yards after catch guy because he's really, really physical. So that's what I like about him is his physicality. So, yeah, you'll take off, you know, a little bit of size from Cornelius Johnson or a little shorter than Rice, but similar speed to Rice, but I think the antithesis of Rice, with all due respect to the great one's son, I think Baker will be a little bit tougher, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I agree. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's go to LSU. LSU's got a great wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. Why do you like Brian Thomas? Why do you think he's going to be a good prospect here in the NFL?
One word, two syllables. Touchdowns!
I like it.
Look, he's a top five in this class. Now, I think I'm firmly, if and I hate, you know, I know the company, but pardon. But if I'm going to go over under, I like 6.5 receivers. I know you can't draft a half of a man, but it's either 6 or 7 are going in this draft at least. Now, he is going to be probably the 5th. Now, that could probably happen in the teens. Is that, if my math is correct, right? We got Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze. Oh, so he's the 4th. Sorry. So he would be the 4th. And then you got a guy like Mitchell or Xavier Worthy or Troy Franklin or other guys that we might get down the line to talk about who are candidates. But he is certainly going in the first round, and he can do everything. He can do everything. And if you're the Dolphins and if he's sitting there at 21 and you're looking for a future number 1B, worst, 1A, best to pair with Waddle after Hill, then, you know, he is too enticing to not consider at 21.
All right, let's stay in the state of Florida, shall we? Let's go down to, or let's go up to Tallahassee and go to FSU. Keon Coleman is going to be a great prospect here in the NFL. You know, Jason, why do you like a guy like Keon Coleman, and what makes him a potential good pick in this year's NFL draft?
If one guy did not have to run the 40, because he did not fare well in the combine at the 40. But other than that, he's got terrific size and frame for the NFL to be an outside dynamic receiver. I just love his ability minus the 40, you know, vertical, fantastic, you know, can get up there, high point the ball, 6'4". Sign me up, you know, in cleats, 6'4" in cleats, let's say, you know, you listen to 6'3" with a little bit of change, but I would love this guy as your prototypical wide receiver, but you're sacrificing some speed. Like, that's 100%.
I 100% agree. I'll tell you, just personally, I think having a guy like that who's used to the Florida heat, because that's a transition on in itself. I mean, granted, look, there's a little bit of a difference between Tallahassee and Miami Gardens, but at the end of the day, it's still that Florida heat is something that he's already kind of used to dealing with, and I think that is a factor, especially when you talk about the greatest show on surf and being a part of, you know, how good a condition you need to be in coming into training camp. So I definitely like that. The next prospect is very interesting for me because his brother is on the staff of the Miami Dolphins, and his other brother is one of the best players in all of the NFL, and that is Luke McCaffrey. Tell us a little bit about Luke and what makes him a decent prospect, and maybe even potentially here with the Miami Dolphins.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. He's got that X factor of having the familiarity there, of course. You know, he's fast as lightning at 6'2". So knowing that, you know he's going to have the crisp kind of, you know, route running that you'd expect out of a McCaffrey. You know, he's terrific right out of the gates off the line. You know, I just think he's a football prodigy, Progeny. Is that the word? Prodigy. Thank you. So sign me up. You know, he probably will go picks higher because of his name. But again, when you mix over 6 foot somewhat, he's 6'2", and he's got 4.4 plus speed. Love McCaffrey. Tough guy, football IQ. Sign me up.
Hey, let's stay in the state of, let's go back to the state of Florida, shall we? This time, let's go to Gatorville, and let's go to a guy named Ricky Pearsall. Did I say his last name right? Is that right? Pearsall.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Tomato. Why do you like Ricky? What makes him a good prospect?
He's the overall package. I mean, he's probably the best of the bunch outside your day one. If he goes round one, it would be like relatively surprising. Like if someone gets him at 32, mm-hmm. you know, but he's just phenomenal. You can play him all over the place, slot outside. He can do it all. And he would be a phenomenal kind of third. If this offense is going to take a step up, right?
Yep.
And also at the same time, so he could be an immediate, if they give him 4 looks a game, he could really make good heavily out of 3 of them, you mm-hmm. know, as a third look from Tyreek and Jalen. Mm-hmm. And then if you would say, all right, thank you, Tyreek or Tyreek, whatever, if it just ends after this year, I'm not saying it's going to, but whatever. And then you're asking Jalen and Ricky to be the guys. That's fine. That's ready made for 2025 and beyond. You extend Waddle, you have Pearsall, you know, if this is a second round pick. Now, I don't endorse this as a 21st pick whatsoever. This is a second round guy at 55, potentially, if you want to go there. He would be an awesome, multifaceted wide receiver.
All right, let's go on to the next one and talk about this guy named Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson is a wide receiver. He's 5'11". He's a 185. He's definitely on the smaller side of the players that we've talked about. Why do you like a guy like Roman Wilson, especially with him being a little undersized?
This is your, again, with like Pearsall, this is a day two guy. You know, you have your pedigree with the Wolverine, but he's as quick as can be, you know, runs routes exceptionally to perfection, is phenomenal in the route running side of things. And he would just be like a phenomenal third down, reliable guy. And I think that he's going to probably be a top 50 pick. We're going to probably miss. I mean, he could be, if he's hanging around at 55, the Dolphins certainly have to consider him. But I think he's going to be, he really improved his stock after the combine. So I think he's going to move in the top 50.
All right, we got 2 more players left, and they both have the same first name. So first person we're going to talk about is Xavier Leggett. Why do you like Xavier Leggett?
He is a freak, powerful, you know, 6'1". Sure, he's a little shorter than the other guys earlier, but absolute freak in nature kind of guy. He's been shooting up the charts also. I don't know that he will be also available 55. I mentioned there are 6 or 7 wide receivers mentioned, or maybe even 8, that could get in the first round. Mm-hmm. He might be a guy who gets into the last pick or 2. So if there's 7 receivers drafted, he could even be a guy picked 32nd or even higher. But receivers can go anywhere from 1 to 3, from 3 to 6. You know, it's a really long range based on what you want. But Leggett is, you know, physical, big body, cut, you know, wide kind of bodied receiver is not going to go down at first contact.
Staying with the same first name, but this guy might be a little bit more worthy than the other Xavier. No pun intended. Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Why do you like Xavier Worthy?
The same reason everybody else does. You know, he's fast as lightning. He's, you know, he won the 40-yard dash crown. So, yeah. That's the reason everyone loves him. If he ran a couple of tenths of a second slower, he still would be a very fine top 100 prospect. But what I think that he did for himself is I think he might have made himself a top 35 pick. If he doesn't get picked in the first round, I think Carolina, you know, right off the bat could start the day off with him. That would make perfect sense, you know, at 33. Because they're not in the first round. So if you want to call Xavier Worthy their first round pick, because they have another second, I believe, that would probably be a great move for the Panthers. I think they have another second round pick a little bit after their first selection. But don't quote me on that. But At 33, absolutely.
Well, look, you know, we've gone over a lot of prospects with this wide receiver, tight end little combination here, Jason. So, look, the Dolphins have one of the best wide receiving combos in the league, and they got a couple of guys on the roster who could definitely, you know, spring up, and with the addition of Jonnu Smith. But you agree as well as me, there's a good chance that on day two or day three, the Dolphins are probably going to draft a wide receiver to help come into training camp and seeing what they can provide. And it'll be very interesting to kind of see where they go, right?
I mean, of course, there's so many things they can do in combination. So if you look at positions, wide receiver, edge, offensive line, wide receiver, offensive line, edge, you know, whatever you want to flip and do your permutations. But yes, I agree. In the six picks that they have, they should go wide receiver. Obviously, they're going to bring two in from an undrafted free agency perspective, two or three, but sixth round, they're going to be completely different prospects, obviously, than even your day through, you know, round threeers. So if they do go wide receiver, it's, and they don't trade, if they stick with these six picks, there's three names, four names in the second round that would be fit like a glove. Like if Leggett happens to fall, have to consider him. If Purcell's there, got to consider him. If Roman Wilson is there, got to consider him. Outside of that, if they pass there, you know, then you're looking at projects. You know, then you're looking at kind of crapshoot guys. So if they are heavily in the wide receiver market and Brian Thomas isn't your guy, if he's sitting there at 21, you know, if it ain't round two and they're not trading back, you know, they're not heavily in the wide receiver market, clearly, but it's a draft I wish they can get back into the third and fourth round, Steven. I really
it do. Is 100%. I was having that conversation with somebody else. It really sucks that, you know, if we had that third round pick, which got taken away because of whatever they want to call it, right?
Hijinks.
Yeah, that we would have the 86 pick, and I would have loved to see what we would have done with the 86 pick. That would have,
you know, the funny thing is, I can deal with the fact that we don't have the fourth because of the Chubb trade, right? But here's again what I would really like: if they love this wide receiver class so much, and someone's there, so if you have to move the third rounder that you own in 2025. To get into the third or fourth round, so in the top 110 picks, essentially early in the fourth, if it comes down to that, the Javon Baker prospect from Florida is there. You know, there are a couple of players that can slip in this receiver class because there's going to be 20 really legit ones and 35 drafted overall, but there's probably going to be 20 like legit, really good receivers. So if you're in that back end of, I mean, we named a couple of guys. I mean, I like the Washington receivers too. We didn't even talk, you know, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan. You know, one of those guys could drop. I think McMillan could be a terrific player to trade into the third round for. I did that in a mock draft. So yep. I would love for the Dolphins to take care of the trenches in the first two rounds. And the trenches could be inside or outside on the offensive line, inside or outside as an edge on the defensive line. If they can go boom, boom there, and then they use 2025 and even sprinkle a sixth rounder this year to get back into the third, fourth, or whatever. Yeah, three players in the top 100 or 110, I think would be phenomenal. And if they can get a wide receiver in that, this is the class to do it.
I want to talk about two shows right now that Dolphins Talk has on their airways each and every week. The first one is on Tuesday nights at 7:30 p.m. Shameless plug, that's another Miami Dolphins First Down podcast with myself, and I usually have First Down guest Josh Moser from South Florida. Winning award Josh Moser, mind you, too. So it's always a great time on Tuesday nights. And then right after us, we have a great show with Manny and Marissa. Must be Marissa, the bearded fanatic. Called Fins Factor, and they're two great shows that you can find each and every Tuesday night right here on Dolphins Talk. There's a lot of beautiful shows that we have, the Same Old Dolphins Show, the Two Amigos, Dolphins Talk, obviously with Mike and Big E, and Mike's got a lot of content too. So guys, make sure you guys go to anywhere that you get podcasts, like YouTube Music. YouTube Music is great. you want to go find our podcast, you can get the audio and video versions of us each and every week on YouTube Music. And you can see all the different podcasts that we have there, and they're absolutely great. So if you guys want to get the latest and greatest on the greatest football team, the Miami Dolphins, that is where you go do it. I really hope that you guys enjoyed today's show. Jason and I have a lot to work for this week. Look, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is going to be the first round of the NFL draft, and we're going to be on live. So you guys turn on your TVs, put it on mute, pull us up on YouTube, and watch us and listen to us while you're watching the NFL draft. It's going to be me, Jason Sarney, Big E. Actually, Big E's going to be there, so he's going to do a live hit, which is going to be great. And then,
I did not know he was going to be in Detroit. That's awesome.
Yep, he's going to be in Detroit.
Love it.
We got big Mike, boss man Mike's going to be with us, Marissa, Manny, Tom, Josh, all the guys from Dolphins Talk that you know and you love. We're going to be on, and we're also going to have a live hit on Friday night from Dougley Durong, which, by the way, you can also find his show each and every Friday morning that we record on Thursday nights, me, myself, and this guy, Dougley Durong, myself. So we got a lot of great content. Jason, there's just tons of great content on Dolphins Talk, right?
I love it. And we're off season. What off season? You know, we're a couple of days into the draft. OTAs, before you know it, we're going to be dealing with training camp. And before you know it, preseason football. And then we're all hanging out at week one somewhere fun. We don't know yet. But the NFL is so good. After players are drafted, we're going to get our schedule out, and everything's going to start rolling with plans.
Bada bing, bada boom. All right. Hey, be on the lookout. We're going to do another on-the-clock segment, myself, Jason Sarney. And next time, we're going to do the defensive tackles and pass rushers, Jason. That's going to be a really good episode, right?
Yes. Now, this is an interesting position group because it's almost like top-heavy – middle empty, so it's like maybe a couple of crapshoots here or there, you know. So the Dolphins, you have to be in the market in the top 90, I feel like, for anything really significant, or I'll call it the top 100. But the receivers, you can say top 110 with the edges. Really, there might be one guy that you could look at as like a 100 number selection that could be of significance from a pass rushing or defensive interior standpoint. It's a little thin, but top heavy with a couple of really good prospects.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please do me a huge favor and hit the like button, share the link, let people know about this wonderful, amazing podcast, and do me a huge favor, put us on notifications. That way you get notified anytime we drop new content live here on Dolphins Talk. From Jason Sarney, myself, Stephen Daniels, we really enjoyed hanging out with you today. Till the next time, it is Clock Blockers, the number one Miami fan show. Peace.